So here in this passage, God pointing back to Israel and warning us not to be like them. Amen? And the phrase that he keeps repeating in this passage has to do with the hardening of our hearts. And this is something that can happen to Christians, sadly, is their hearts can become hardened. And we'll find out what can cause that in, as we go through the passage. But I just want us all to be honest with the Holy Spirit as we go through the Word of God together this morning. And we're going to look at a lot of scriptures together. And just pray up front, Lord, if there's any hardness in my heart, I pray that you'll break that down. I pray you'll soften it. Because the last thing we want is to have a hardened heart towards the Lord. Amen. So notice Hebrews chapter 3. We'll start in verse 7 together. The Bible says, "Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if ye will hear his voice, harden not your hearts, as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ, if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end, while it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation." So harden not your hearts. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I do ask that you would speak to us from your word this morning. As we contemplate this important truth, Lord, may we be honest about where our heart is. And if we've allowed any sin or disbelief to affect the softness of our heart, Lord, may we repent of that. And may your work be powerful in our lives now through your word. And may you be glorified. And we thank you for the privilege and give you this service and love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Notice verse 7, hear his voice. If we allow our heart to get hardened, then we struggle to hear his voice. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:30, "Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption." Sin grieves the Holy Spirit and makes it harder for us to hear him. 1 Thessalonians 5:19 says, "Quench not the Spirit." The Holy Spirit can be grieved. The Holy Spirit can be quenched. He lives in us. We are his temple, but he is God. And he is holy. And we cannot hear him if our heart is not open to hear from him. And that's what God is warning us about. Verse 8, "Harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness." Now, God is using the word day here. But he's referring, for God, a day doesn't mean anything, but he's referring to the entire 40-year period, as we saw, when Israel went through many tests and temptations. And their response to those tests resulted in their hearts being hardened and them being disciplined by the Lord. And as we know, everyone above 20 years old, when they turned their backs upon God's promise to go into the promised land, had to go and wander in the desert for 40 years and die in the desert before the younger ones were allowed to go into the promised land. And that was all because of their hearts, sadly. And so we can learn a lot from them. He says in verse 9, "When your fathers tempted and proved me and saw my works 40 years. Remember, even though they went through many trials and temptations, God still took care of them. 40 years, their shoes didn't wear out. 40 years, he rained down food from heaven. 40 years, he protected them from their enemies. So even though they were going through a period of being, if you will, chastised, he was still watching out for them. And it's the same for us. We're God's child, as we talked about in Sunday school. We may have to go through some chastisement, but that doesn't mean we're not his child and he doesn't care about us and doesn't keep watching out for us. But it says here that they tempted him and that they proved him. It says down in verse 16, for some, when they had heard, did provoke. And so notice these words, that they provoked God, that they proved God, that they tempted God. And that resulted in their hearts being hardened. So since God is referring to this period, then I think it's only wise that we do a little Bible study and make sure we understand what he's referring to. So let's go to Numbers chapter 14 and verse 22. And as we look through these times when they angered God, let us look into our own hearts and lives and make sure that this isn't us, that this isn't our response to a trial or to a test. So notice Numbers 14, verse 22. It says, because all those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice. Now God here is using the word 10 literally. And so we're going to do a short little 5-minute Bible study and look at the 10 times that they tempted God, that they provoked God, and make sure we understand what results or what can lead to a hardened heart. So we'll start in Exodus 14. We're just going to quickly walk through these 10 times that Israel tested God so that we can get some context of what he's talking about here when he talks about the 40 years of Israel provoking the Lord. So Exodus 14, verse 10 is the first one. It says, and when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, thou hast taken us away to die in the wilderness. Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. So failure number one, or test number one, was Pharaoh's army, and their response was to complain and to get angry at God. God, of course, delivered them, hallelujah, through the Red Sea and killed the army. But their response was sinful and wrong. Now, chapter 15 of Exodus, verse 23, is the second test. Exodus 15, 23. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? So, test number two. Israel murmured against Moses. Chapter 16 of Exodus, verse 2. It says, and the whole congregation, the children of Israel, murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. So notice that word murmured. They murmured against God. Exodus 16:20 is the fourth one. It says, notwithstanding, they hearkened not unto Moses, but some of them left of it until the morning, and it bred worms and stank. And Moses was wroth with them, and they gathered it every morning, every man according to his eating. When the sun waxed hot, it melted. This was talking about the manna, and God gave them just a couple of simple rules. You must gather it in the morning. You must gather it daily. You can't leave it for the next day. And they immediately disobeyed God's clear commands. So that was the fourth test. The fifth test is chapter 16, verse 27. It says, and it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? So there was a third rule. One was you got to gather it in the morning. One was you have to gather it daily. But on Friday, you had to gather twice as much because on Saturday, which is the Sabbath day, they weren't allowed to gather and there wouldn't be any. And if you tried to gather the stuff from the day before, it was rotten. So, more disobedience. Test number five. Test number six is the next chapter, Exodus 17, verse 1. It says, "And all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses and said, 'Give us water that we may drink.' And Moses said unto them, 'Why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?' And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, 'Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst?'" So another incident of murmuring. So far we've had, for the first six, we've had four murmurs and two disobediences, just to keep tally. Exodus 32 is our seventh one. Exodus chapter 32, verse 1. Most of you are very familiar with this, what happened here, where Moses was called by God up onto the mountain to receive the commandments. Verse 1, "And when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, 'Up, make us gods, which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him.' And Aaron said unto them, 'Break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives, of your sons, and of your daughters, and bring them unto me.' And all the people brake off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. And he received them at their hand and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, 'These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt.'" So, test number seven is Moses was away, who they constantly complained about, but he was gone, and so they decided to ask Aaron to make them a golden calf to worship while Moses was away. More disobedience and sin. Then Numbers chapter 11 is the eighth one. So if you want to turn over there, Numbers 11 verse 1 is the eighth test. "And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and consumed them in the uttermost parts of the camp. And the people cried unto Moses. When Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. And he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them." Did you notice the word complained? They complained. Then Numbers 11 verse 4 is the ninth one. "And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, 'Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes.'" Down in verse 10, "Then Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, and the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly." So this time they lusted after something other than the manna. And then the last one is Numbers 14 and verse 1. Temptation number 10. So there's a literal 10. It says, "And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. And the whole congregation said unto them, 'Would God that we had died in the land of Egypt, or would God we had died in this wilderness. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should be a prey? Were it not better for us to return into Egypt?' And they said one to another, 'Let us make a captain, and let us return into Egypt.'" Down to verse 10. "But all the congregation bade stone them with stones, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel." So back to Hebrews chapter 3. So just a quick little lesson there on what God's referring to. When he talked about there in verse 9 and verse 16 about how they tempted God, about how they proved God, about how they provoked God. And now we see how. They disobeyed God's commandments. They created the golden calf. They lusted. But more than anything, they murmured and complained. And what God is saying to us is we're going to face trials as well and tests. Notice verse 12 of our passage. "Take heed, brethren," he says, "lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. He's talking to brethren. He's talking to us. And he's saying, be careful. Now, when things are going well, we're really not as tempted, are we, to complain, to murmur, to disbelieve God and His power. But when the trials come, like we see with Israel, that's when we're most tempted by the devil to say, oh, woe is me. Oh, look what God's doing. Oh, God doesn't love me. Oh, God doesn't care. Or God is allowing this in my life and it's not right. It's not fair. That's murmuring and complaining. And that is what he's talking about here. An evil heart of unbelief. When we have trials, those are the times when we need to trust God. The Bible says without faith, it's impossible to please Him. In Hebrews 11:6. So when the trials come, those are the times. If you would look at Job chapter 23, and most of us know verse 10 quite well because we sing a song from verse 10. You know, years ago I just taught a study on the whole book of Job over in Potatadu, just a one single study on Job. And I thought, well, what verse am I going to use as my primary verse? It wasn't verse 10. Which we all know. He knoweth the way that I take, and when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. The verse that I chose to basically encapsulate the whole book was verse 16. For God maketh my heart soft, and the Almighty troubleth me. God maketh my heart soft. Think about that. When we have trials, and Job had trials, nobody's going to question that. Our heart can get soft, or our heart can get hard. We can choose to get angry. We can choose to complain. We can choose to murmur. We can choose to disobey and go off into sin, which hardens our heart. Or we can choose, like Job, to soften our heart and say, God's working in my life, and even though this hurts and I don't completely understand it, God's trying to teach me something. And the Lord is making my heart soft. Because all of our hearts need some work. That never ends. And not surprisingly, most of that work is done through trials. Look at Romans 12:12 quickly if you would. But trials, God uses them to soften our heart. But it's an act of our will for that to happen. Because if we choose instead to get angry or to complain like Israel or to murmur or to say, I'm angry and I'm going to sin, we go the opposite direction that God's trying to lead us, and our heart gets hardened to hearing Him and to hearing the Holy Spirit. Notice Romans 12:12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation. Patient in tribulation. That's God's will. That when the tribulations come, we be patient. Now, a couple quick verses. Go to Psalm 119:67. And I just want to show you that when God brings these tests, and we can call them that, because He does test His children. 119:67 of Psalms. We need to learn to not be like Israel. Amen? We need to learn to respond properly so that our hearts do not get hardened. Notice Psalm 119:67. David here said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. You see that word good? Because God is good. Amen? We all would agree with that. David said, it's good for me that I've been afflicted. That needs to be our attitude. Otherwise, our hearts can get hardened. Now one more, two more. 2 Corinthians 4:16. Turn there quickly. 2 Corinthians 4:16 and 17. But I'm just showing you that God teaches in His Word that actually tribulation or these tests that we're going to face, God uses them to work in our lives. 2 Corinthians 4:16. For which cause we faint not, but though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. See that word worketh? He's saying that these afflictions that we're going to face, they work for us. That's an action verb. He actually uses these to work in our lives. And then one more, 1 Peter 5:10. Turn over there if you would. And then we'll get started on our message. That was the introduction. Just kidding. 1 Peter 5:10. But the God of all grace, who hath called you unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you what? Perfect. Perfect. God is trying to perfect us. He's always trying to perfect us, always conforming us to the image of Jesus Christ. From the day we get saved to the day we leave this earth, he's perfecting us. Using his word, using the Holy Spirit, using trials. It says, after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect. You see how God teaches in his word that trials are actually for our good? And God was trying to teach Israel some lessons through their tests. He promised them, I'm going to rescue you from Egypt. I'm going to take you to the promised land. It's already yours. I'm going to fight your battles for you. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to meet your needs. They didn't listen to any of it, did they? Every time they ran across a test, they immediately threw up their hands and said, woe is us. Would have been better off to die in Egypt. God brought us out here to kill us. God brought us out here to kill us of thirst, to kill us of hunger, to kill us with other nations. Really, so God went to all that trouble, worked those 10 plagues through Moses, and killed the entire army of Egypt just to kill you? You see how silly that is? And yet the devil comes in and that's what he says. Oh, God's mad at you, or God doesn't love you, or God doesn't really care. And none of those things are true. But it hardens our heart when we have this heart of unbelief about why God is allowing these things in our lives, what God is trying to teach us. And so here in verse 13 of our passage, he actually gives one of the great preventative measures of a hardened heart. I love it that he tucked this in here. Exhort one another daily, while it is called today. Exhortation is one of the best preventative measures against a hardened heart. So every day, look for an opportunity to exhort your brother or sister in Christ. Amen? That's what it says. It says daily. It doesn't say every Sunday. Daily, look for an opportunity to exhort someone else. And hopefully we will receive exhortation from someone every day. Look for those opportunities. Because the devil might just be hardening someone's heart through testing. And your exhortation might just make the difference. You know, he tells us there in Hebrews 10, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as a manner of some is, but exhort one another. In other words, get together as often as you can, as often as the church can get together, so that you can not only have the word of God, but you can exhort one another. And so down in our passage, verse 13, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Is sin deceitful? Absolutely. Is the devil deceitful? Yes. Is he going to try to get us to harden our hearts so that we'll be ineffective as Christians? Of course he is. He hates nothing more than a Christian who loves Jesus and wants to serve Jesus. So if he can get us discouraged, if he can get our heart hardened through testing, through trials that God allows, if we choose to go this way of murmuring and complaining and sinning instead of going this way of trusting God, then the devil wins. Because he's just ticked off another one. Ineffective for Christ until they get their heart softened. So that's what he's going to do every opportunity he gets. Mark 4:19, turn there. Jesus warned us that the trials and even the things of the world, if we're not careful, these things can deceptively come in and harden our heart. Look at Mark 4:19. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lusts of other things entering in choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. The Apostle Paul said in Romans 7:11, sin taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it slew me. He said, sin slew me. And sin will do that if we let it. It's up to us. So three times in this passage and then over in chapter 4, God says, harden not your hearts. And he says, let me teach you a lesson. Let me point you back to Israel. Point you back to how they responded to the tests that I allowed in their lives. 10 times they provoked me. 10 times they angered me. Now the first 6, if you noticed, there was no punishment because they were still in the learning stage. But once the golden calf came, from then on, every time there was some sort of a punishment. We saw the fire. We saw the people killed with the golden calf. Each time after that, they were punished in some way because they hadn't learned. Their hearts were hardened. And God says, I want you to learn from them, my chosen people. And don't harden your heart. And the times when we are most tempted to harden our hearts is when we are tested. Tested either through a trial or tested through sin, through some sort of temptation. Where God says, James 1, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations. When you're tempted, say, praise God, I'm being tempted. Knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. Temptations try us too, don't they? And each time we have a choice. Trust God, live for God, or murmur, complain, or yield to the temptation, go off into sin. And then, now we're saying to God, Lord, please soften my heart. Soften my heart. I mean, we're not saying it literally, but we're saying it through our actions. Lord, I need you to bring something into my life to soften my heart because it's hardened. So what a great reminder, what a great warning. And I hope that we'll all take it to heart that God says, harden not your hearts. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for teaching us